friends, and welcome to Light of the Word Radio. This is Pastor Jim filling in for Pastor Eugene. We ask that you be in prayer for Pastor Eugene as he is down sick. Hopefully we'll have him back with us and recording with us here in the next couple of weeks, but keep him lifted up in prayer. Today's message is the second part of a message that I preached from Galatians 1:10. For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Join us now as we finish this message. One of my favorite episodes of Andy Griffith's show, I believe it is episode number 12 of season 1, Stranger Comes to Town. And he knows everything about everybody. And they're trying to figure out if he's from outer space or what. Well, it turns out that he had been taking their paper. He had a friend that was from there, and he'd been taking the paper and learning about everybody as he read about them in the paper, so much so that he began to love the town. Pretty soon he began to call the town his hometown, and he says in the show, he said, and pretty soon I began to believe that Mayberry was my hometown. We convince ourselves of things that aren't true, don't we? We've all done it. I've convinced myself that this little piece of candy, this extra sandwich, is not going to hurt me. That's a lie, isn't it? We convince ourselves often of things that we want to be one thing, and we do something else. Matthew 6, beginning in the first verse, it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. That's what the Pharisees did. The scriptures talk about the righteousness of the Pharisees. The Pharisees truly were more humanly righteous than all the people. They practiced righteousness. And when they compared themselves to all the people in the land, there was none who had the righteousness of the Pharisees. But do you know what that was worth in eternity? Nothing. It was worth nothing. Because it was all of them. And we get to practicing our lies. And when the truth is, as it says in Romans 8:8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. When we're practicing our own righteousness, we cannot please God. We are in the flesh. We need to get before God. And we need to repent and turn to Him. I think often, what would this world look like? What would this community look like if there was a church where all the people in the church put all their effort into pleasing God in their jobs, in their schooling, in their activities, in their games? If they put all their energy that's while they're doing these things into pleasing God in them, would it change the world? I think it would. I think it would change the world. Scripture tells us, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. And if we were to do everything for the glory of God, it would change our family. It would change those around us, our neighbors. But instead, we seem to have compartments in our life. This compartment is my church life. Now, I will say there are some who give it just more than Sunday. Some give it Sunday and Wednesday or Thursday or whatever day they have a Bible study. Some give it a couple minutes each morning. But then the rest of the day, they live like the world. Because that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about everything that we do for the glory of God. Last week, Cynthia and I were on vacation. As I sat out there on that dock and fished, I thought about the glory of God. I thought about all the wonderful things and wonderful blessings that He has given Cynthia and I in our 27 years of marriage. We've had a lot of tough times, but I tell you, the blessings have far outweighed the tough things. The blessings of serving God far outweigh the tough things. Remember this from when we were in the book of James and the letter of James? This is James 4:4. You adulterous people, Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Why do we want to be a friend of the world, friends, brothers and sisters? Why do we want to be an enemy of God? I think if those who called themselves Christian stood for what was right, we would have a completely different style of clothing in the stores. I think we would have a completely different set of movies on the screen. I think the TV shows would completely change. I think the language that comes out of the mouth of people would change. I don't know where you go today and be around people where you do not hear foul things coming out of their mouth. It's in the grocery store. I've even heard it sitting in my car with the windows down from a car next to me at a stoplight. It's everywhere. We look at the statistics, and the statistics say that now it's closer to 50% of the people who profess to be Christian in our country. It used to be close to 90%. I think if 50% of the people were truly Christian, this would be a different world, don't you? If half of the people in this country were Christian, it would be a different world. But we are so willing to look like the world. We don't care. People have told me, well, you know, God will forgive you. God will forgive you if you're His. You say, well, everybody's God's child. Then why does it say that He gave us the right to be adopted and to be children of God? If everybody's already God's children, we don't need to be adopted. We're already there. Truth is lost in pleasing man. I truly believe with all my heart that if I wanted to build a large congregation, that we could do it very easily. It just would take a few lies, appease a few people, you know, maybe add some screens back here so you can watch the games while church is going on. You know, I'm sure we could come up with a few other things to help. We could come up with ways to get people to come in. Of course, it wouldn't include speaking truth. But that's not what we're here for, is it? We're here to honor God. And God is honored by a little tiny church in the middle of nowhere speaking the truth far more than any honor He receives from the largest of churches that preaches one lie. One lie changes His word. Ephesians 5, beginning in the 8th verse. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And then that's what I read earlier. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Or 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Let me stop before I finish that verse. How do you present yourself to God as one approved? By being in His Word. By studying and learning and knowing. I'm amazed at how many people consider themselves to be an authority on God's Word who don't know anything about it. All they know is what somebody else has told them. Secondhand, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Let's handle the word of truth. Let's please God. Let's make much of Him. In Isaiah 51, beginning in the 12th verse, I am He who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the Son of Man who is made like grass and have forgotten the Lord? Your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, and you fear continually all day because of the wrath of the oppressor when He sets Himself to destroy. What's God saying? What's He telling us here? He's telling us no matter what we face, it's Him we need to please. No matter what difficulties, He is the comforter. What can man do? Well, we learn this here in Let's look at Luke 12, verse 4. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. It says the same thing in Matthew 10:28. We need to be concerned about what God wants. He is the one in authority. Oh, man may think he has authority. Man may think he has power. What did Pilate say to Jesus? He says, don't you realize I have the authority? And Jesus said, no. The only authority you have is what has been given to you. Who has authority over us? It's God, isn't it? First and foremost, I see, because I was taught history growing up, so many parallels to what happened in Nazi Germany, happening all around us today. Because I was taught history, I can see it. Those of you who were taught history, you can see it. You can see the parallels. And yet so many don't. They're more afraid of the government. They're more afraid of jail. They're more afraid that somebody's going to be offended because they don't have on a mask. They're so afraid that somebody's going to be offended because they're holding church services and you might only be 5.5 feet apart instead of 6, that they're willing to try to crush us. I love one of my favorite verses. I love Paul's writing. I mean, I love the Bible, all of the Bible, but Paul's writing just touches my soul. And he says in Romans 12, first two verses, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That we're to present our bodies. Will they come after us if we choose to do what is right before God? They might. They might. We have brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who will be killed today because they refuse to dishonor God. Today there will be somebody who is told that if they denounce Christ, they can live. And they will choose to die today. On this day, we can't fear those who can kill the body. Because we need to fear a distancing from God. We need to present ourselves, our bodies, our hearts, our minds, our soul, as living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable to God. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I who live, he says. It is Christ who lives in me. Oh, if we just had this attitude, what would we be willing to buckle to? Nothing, right? We would stand. I remember reading a story years ago during World War II in Nazi Germany. There were those who were meeting in secret to worship together. You see, folks, this distance worship is not true worship. It is a good replacement when we cannot be in the body. But we were not saved to worship from a distance. We were saved and should have a longing and yearning within us to meet together and worship God. Because as the body comes together, there is a fullness that we feel and find in Christ as we come together. And who should we let stop us from doing this? It is not okay for the government to stop us. I have no problem putting this online so that those who need to can be home and see service. I have no issue with that whatsoever. But when we belong to Christ, there has to be a desire to come together, even if we're a small church. We love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we gather on Sunday, if somebody's missing, it isn't because our numbers are down that we're upset. It's because we miss them. They're a part of us. And we look forward to seeing them when we come together to worship. They're a part of us. But I personally have been crucified with Christ. Have you? When I baptize somebody, as I put them under the water, I say, crucified with Christ and buried with Christ. And I dip them under the water. And as I pull them up, I say, and raised up or resurrected in the likeness of his resurrection. It is a symbol of what has happened to us spiritually. We died and are buried in baptism. That's why being baptized as a child, let me rephrase that, being baptized as a non-believer does not cover it. I've had those who I have baptized who were baptized before they really believed. That doesn't cover it. That symbolism is being buried with Christ because you are now dead to this world and alive in Christ. All of this is what Paul is talking about in our text. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Oh, hear this, brothers and sisters. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. When we are telling somebody that we are protected by Christ, and then they look on the news and they see that somebody was just killed, beheaded, shot, whatever it is, in some other country because they stood for Christ, and they say, well, where is Christ in that? Right there with them. Right there with them. When we face trials, where is Christ? If you are in Him, He is right there with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. What's going to dismay them? When they look around and they see all the trouble of the world that comes upon them. But they don't have to be dismayed. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh, my heart is just full of songs today from the hymnal. Just turn your eyes upon Him. Look full in His glorious face. Romans chapter 8. Eighth verse, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Do I need to tell you what that means? Or is that pretty clear? It's pretty clear, isn't it? Those who are in the flesh, those who live for the world, cannot please God. Period. There's a period at the end of that right there in my Bible. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. And they cannot please God. They cannot. Psalm 147, verse 11. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, and those who hope in His steadfast love. When we fear the Lord, people tell me, well, the fear of the Lord is a reverence. Well, I think that's true. But that isn't the whole thing. The whole thing is the fear of God. We're not to fear the world. We're not to fear anything in the world. We're not to fear man. But we better have a fear of God. Because it is God who can not only kill us, but cast us into hell. We should live in such a way to present our bodies as living sacrifices, pleasing to Him, by doing His will. Because the Lord has pleasure in those who fear Him, is said in that psalm. Hebrews 13:21 says, equip you with every good, try this again, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Christ Jesus, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's turn together away from the world. If this is the world, try it again, if that is the world, there are some of us facing that way, and 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 all these other directions. But you notice, even if I'm facing right there, I miss it, don't I? And the further in that direction I go, I'm getting further and further away from Him, aren't I? We either turn to Him to please Him, or we're going away from Him. There isn't any other choice. There isn't any other choice. So practically, how do we please Him? I've said it three or four times already. We get into the Word. We spend time in His Word. And as we study, and as we learn, we pray. And we ask Him, show us the way. Yes, we can discuss it amongst each other with other Christians. We can talk about His Word and we can ask each other what we see here and what does God mean in this. Don't ask, what does it mean to you? Ask, what does God mean with this? But no matter what the answer is, we take it back to the Word and say, huh, is that what it means? Does that match the Scripture? And we grow. I know that sounds like an oversimplification, but it's a matter of just picking it up and reading it and spending time in prayer. Remember the story of the Syrian general who got leprosy? And a slave maiden in his house told him that in her country there was a great prophet who could help. And so he goes to the king, and the king sends him with a letter to the king in Israel, in Judah, saying they want them to heal him. And the king says, well, we can't heal him. Is he trying to cause war? What's he doing? Finally, he goes to see the prophet. And the prophet, by messenger, tells him, go and dip in the river. Simple. And he leaves. He tells him to dip 7 times. He leaves angry. And he's heading home. Don't we have greater rivers? He's heading home until one of his men suggests that if the prophet would have told him to do some big, fancy, special thing, he would have probably done it. But why not go ahead and do the simple thing he said? And so it convinces Naaman to go, and he dips in the river, and he comes up that last time, and he's cleansed. It was just a simple thing. It wasn't nothing special. He just dipped in the river. Folks, it's a simple thing to take your time and get into God's Word. And it's a simple thing to read it. I have heard so many excuses why someone can't read God's Word. And that's all they are, is excuses. There is no reason anyone cannot be in God's Word. When I was in Texas, I met a man who did not know how to read, but he had the entire Scriptures memorized. His wife read them to him, and he took and put them to memory. He couldn't read, not a single word. But you ask him, what's Romans 8:8 say, and he would tell you. How about this? I can't see very well. Reading gives me a headache. Is there anybody here over the age of 15 who doesn't have a cell phone? Except for John. But the Scriptures are on there, aren't they? You can pull them up on your phone. Or you can go to the library and get on the computer at the library. And you can pull the Scriptures up. And you say, well, I can't read them. I can't read the screen. Then hit play and they'll read them for you. In our church library, we have cassette tapes with the Bible on it. We have CDs with the Bible on it. We have DVDs with the Bible on it. If you want to spend time in God's Word, hearing and learning it, you can. If you don't, it's on you. But do not wonder why the blessings of God seem to pass you by when you do not have time or desire to spend the time with Him. Get into His Word, friends. Get into His Word, brother and sister, because His Word will give you a new and fuller picture of who He is. People talk about, well, God is everywhere. You got to be careful getting into some of this, because some of this will get you into some new wave or whatever they call it stuff. It'll get you into places you don't want to go. Yes, God is everywhere and God is revealed in everything. But if you want to know Him, you go here, straight to His Word. Yes, you can see Him in the sunrise. Yes, you can see Him in the sunset. Yes, you can see Him in the roar of the sea or the calm of a lake. But you won't know Him there. Know Him, be in Him, by being in His Word. All of this to simply say, seek the approval of God, not man. Because if you are seeking the approval of man over God, you cannot be a servant of Christ. And that's what Paul said in the last part of that 10th verse. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Please stand with me. Father God, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that you have, in your mercy, taken and taught me and brought me to a place to spend time with you, to spend time in your word, to spend time in prayer. Oh, Father, grow that from where it is now to where I would love it to be. Father, sometimes I hear people say he or she is so spiritually minded they're no earthly good. Well, that's simply a lie, because the more spiritual minded any of us are, the more good we are for those around us. Speak to us, Father, by your Spirit. Move us closer to you. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray this. Amen. Friends, we hope and pray that these messages from Galatians have blessed you. We hope and pray that above all, that they have blessed the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, is what the psalmist said. And that is always our goal with all the preaching, is that we would bless the name of God, because He is worthy. Now, as I close this, I just want to remind you to be certain that it is not man's approval that you seek. It is so easy to fall into that trap. But when we seek to do what is right before God, oh, what great blessing and closeness comes from Him. Now, as we close this message, I want to remind you of the End Abortion rally that we have coming up. We have the official name for that. It is Abolish Abortion Kansas Conference. We'll be holding that at Lighthouse Baptist Church on February 28th. It'll start at 4, end at 7, then we'll serve a meal afterwards. We are inviting anyone who is within the distance and ability to get here to come and join us, and we're asking everyone to be in prayer. There are a couple things that are very important to us with this rally. One is that the Word of God is heard and what it has to say about abortion. But also, we want for those who have had an abortion or have had part of an abortion taking place, maybe they have a girlfriend or a wife that they have helped to get an abortion, maybe a child, we want them to receive the grace of God that washes away all sin.
We want to thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We'd like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar with stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions to bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and the hearing of His Word.